If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's BT and Sal on The Fan.
All righty, BT and Sal back on The Fan live here at the Javits Center Fanatics Fest. This event
having
is...
having a blast, Sal.
Dude, this is awesome.
This is great.
This is actually better than I thought. We were both excited about it.
Yeah.
And were curious how it was going to work. And then, you know, throughout the course of the week, we started getting layouts of what it was going to look like, the setup and the map and the whole thing. This is really, really cool. They've done a fantastic job here. Where's Ruben at? Get him over.
Get him over here. Where's he at?
I better be catching a pass from Tom Brady and meeting Michael Vick. I'm dressed like Vick right now. I got to put the helmet on, but I can't do the show with the helmet on. So anyway, it's been really cool getting a chance to meet a lot of fan listeners and just sports fans, diehard sports fans, and a lot of Nick energy here. Now, you know, we've also seen a bunch of Jet fans, BT, along the way. And I wanted to get to the Jets for a second. We've talked about, of course, Reddick and the holdout and that situation. And we've also kind of minimized it and glossed over it in certain ways where this should not be minimized. Joe Douglas and the Jets could say, well, look, we don't need the player. We're not trading him. We're not going to sign him, whatever. You know, we're not going to, you know, come to an extension or give him what he wants right now. Let him hold out of camp, and we'll be fine without him. They traded for Reddick, and they traded for him for a reason. The New York Jets are going to go as far as their defense takes them. Now, I'm not trying to disrespect Aaron Rodgers or the offense because I love Aaron Rodgers and do believe in him and do think the Jets' offense is going to be good. It's not going to be one of the best in the AFC. It's not going to be the reason that the Jets get to the Super Bowl. If the Jets get to the Super Bowl or go far in the playoffs, it's going to be because their defense is better than everybody else. Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, Miami, name the top teams.
Maybe the Texans, Chargers, whoever, Jaguars. Yep.
The Bengals. The Jets don't have an offense that is going to be better than the best offenses. They could be comparable and close,
okay,
but they do have a defense that can be the best defense in the NFL. Well, to be that, they need Reddick on the field. So let's not minimize the holdout and what this potentially means.
Well, I don't know that we're minimizing it, but at least my perspective is Reddick's got no juice. He thinks he's got leverage. He's got none. Hassan Reddick's 30 years old, and he's good. What he's really good at, and that's the bottom line. But he's got nowhere to go. The Jets retain his rights, and people need, and we talked about this, people need to understand. Like Hassan Reddick, okay, I'm going to draw my line in the sand. Guess what? I'm going to pretend I'm Hassan. Hey, Joe. Hey, Robert Saleh, Woody. I'm not coming until I get your new contract. Fantastic. You're not getting a new contract. And next year, when you don't play either, you'll get no accruement in terms of playing six games, in terms of getting for the pension and all the things that matter down the road. You will not get that. So not only will we fine you $50,000 a day, which they've been doing.
Right.
He's already about $350,000 in the hole.
Right.
He's got a $14 million salary this year. If he doesn't play a snap, he's down $14 million right away. So you're telling me that somebody who's not a quarterback, not a wide receiver, in terms of money, that's why I say that, is going to leave roughly with the fine $17 million on the table this year and then not be able to play next year when he's going to be 31 years old. There's no chance.
Right, but
that's not happening.
But that is a different conversation, the who's got the leverage, what Reddick's going to do. They need him on the field. So you could say that, well, Reddick's got to play. He's losing money. He's losing millions of dollars potentially. The Jets have him, as you said the other day, by the short ones.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. But if Reddick says, you know what, I'm digging in, I'm not playing, that is going to hurt the Jets this year on the field. They need him.
Okay, I don't disagree with that. They lost Bryce Huff. They do need him. I guess what I was saying in a long way is trying to explain everything to everybody so everybody knows. I do think he's going to play. I do think that he's eventually.
Well, what if he doesn't? And maybe that's why we're minimizing it. And I'm not saying you or I individually, but
we're taking it for granted that he's going to show up.
Yes, I think that the
maybe.
Now maybe he will, but maybe he won't. The impact of Reddick on the Jets is not insignificant. He's a big part of their plans and how they could potentially have long-term success here this year going deep into the postseasons. He's an integral part of that. If he weren't, they wouldn't have traded for him.
You know what I'm interested to see? This goes back to the offense-defense thing. And, yeah, the defense should be better than the offense. But I think that the Jets' defense, I mean, and I'll be a little conservative here, and I'll factor in Hassan Reddick playing at some point. I think the Jets defense has a chance to be top three. And I think the Jets' offense has a chance to be top 10. More towards the back end of top 10.
Right.
I'm not saying three
okay,
or four.
Okay, fine. But that's...
Yeah. Eight or nine. So how many teams in the... I'm not saying there are none. How many teams in the NFL have both top 10 offense and defense? Not as many as you think.
Right.
I think the Jets are on the short list, so...
But don't you think that what's going to separate the Jets from everybody else in the AFC is their defense? I mean, you said...
Well, I think that that's a big part of it, but I also think that Aaron Rodgers flinging 30 touchdowns isn't going to hurt.
But other guys do that, too.
No, there's plenty of other guys.
Can list... I mean, I went on this computer. I got the call screen.
I got you. How many guys threw 30 last year?
Well, not even that. Just look at the teams in the AFC
alone.
All right,
Joe Burrow's going to kill it. Right. Josh Allen's going to kill it. Lamar's going to kill it. Herbert's going to kill it, although they'll be more run-heavy with Jim Harbaugh.
I mean, in their own division,
yeah.
Miami and Buffalo still, until proven otherwise. I'm not saying the Jets can't get to a level close to that.
The Jets are better than Buffalo. They just lost their linebacker. Not only did they lose Stephon Diggs, they lost their linebacker, Milano.
He's terrific. I know that, but we can't say the Jets.
The Jets are better.
The Mets are better than the Braves. Can you actually finish ahead of them?
But the Mets never beat the Braves. Yeah. The Jets beat the Bills last year on opening night.
In a game. The Mets beat the Braves.
And they lost the game.
The Mets beat the Braves in a series as well.
I have no problems. Now, the Dolphins, the Jets are better than the Bills.
Yeah,
they are better than the Bills.
Okay, they might be better than the Bills, but the Bills
and
offense.
Than the, Pets.
The Bills offense. You think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Josh Allen right now?
I don't think so, but I think the Jets have a better roster.
Okay, but fair enough.
I really do.
Better team. We're talking about
and the Jets always defend Josh Allen well.
Understood.
He always throws picks against the Jets.
Because of their defense, right?
Sure.
Their defense is better. That's what I'm saying. Just offensively, if you look in the AFC, teams that are better than the Jets offensively, a team that or teams that the Jets are trying to get to that level, which with Rodgers, they should be able to, but they obviously have to prove it because they haven't played a game for them. Dolphins, Bills, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers and Browns, I mean.
Maybe we'll go to the Chargers. Herbert is going to be really good with Harbaugh. They're going to run the ball more because he's got Greg Moore over that running scheme.
Chargers, Chiefs, Texans, Jaguars. Yeah. Like, think of all these teams that offensively are at the very least going to be on the same level.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to push back on that.
Now let's do the defense.
Like defense.
Jets better than anybody in the AFC East.
Yep.
I mean,
Steelers defense pretty good.
Browns very good.
Yeah, Browns have a good defense.
Baltimore.
As well.
Okay, but still, I think the Jets could be better.
So do I.
Jaguars and Texans.
No.
Even the Chiefs
beat
and Chargers.
Texans last year with Zach Wilson.
So that's the point. What is going to separate them? Like, even if everything goes perfectly for their offense.
Which it won't. Never does for anybody. But
how good are they going to be? Top 10?
I think the Jets are going to average 24, 25 points a game.
Right. Okay. I mean, that's a lot. But if everything goes right for them, they're still not going to be better than the best AFC teams offensively. If everything goes right defensively, they can be the best defensive team in the league. That, to me, is the separator.
Without Reddick, they can't get there.
Right?
Well, yeah. Listen, my energy is positive right now because of what I just explained with Reddick, and I do believe he'll show up. If you tell me today that you knew for a fact that Hassan Reddick doesn't play a snap, I've got a little bit of a different... First of all, I'm getting on Joe a lot harder, Joe Douglas, and I'm a little more concerned.
Well, there are other moves to be made. I mean, Atlanta just brought in Matthew Judon.
I saw that.
That's a big move.
For a third-round pick.
And to be honest with you, like, you know me with the Falcons, I really don't care anymore. Like, Kirk Cousins, whatever. That's a move that gets me excited because that's what you need.
Absolutely.
Pass rushers in the NFL.
As soon as I saw that, I thought of you. I'm like, Judon's a good player.
I actually did get excited about that one. That team, like many other teams, have been chasing an elite pass rusher for years.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that the Jets have been in that similar spot, but you need one of those guys. They're game changers, game wreckers. And with all the other pieces that the Jets have, Reddick would be a perfect final piece to go get the quarterback. Protect the quarterback, go get the quarterback. Reddick's going to be the best at that with the Jets. He's got to suit up.
Do you not think he's going to play this year?
I told you how I felt about it. I think he's drawn his line in the sand. If you're going to sit out and already lose money, why not just say, this is it? Like, him and his agent, right or wrong, I feel like made that decision to say, we're not going to show up. And they know, or had to at least anticipate, the Jets aren't going to break. So maybe they just ride it out. Maybe this thing goes into week four. Who knows how long it goes. I think
week six is where that would have to be resolved for to accrue the full year for pension, et cetera, whatever, to be fully vested down the road. I think he's going to play. I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to play.
Right.
Now, to answer your question directly, like, why would you, like, it's one thing to sacrifice a couple of $100,000 trying to prove a point, getting fined every day, getting banged out for $50,000. Another thing to leave $14.1 million off the
table.
Well,
that's, they're obviously, see, you said that the agent made a mistake and miscalculated.
I do.
I'm assuming, either he's a complete buffoon or he had a plan and said, hey, this is one of the options. So be prepared if you don't show up. If we don't show up, this is what could potentially happen. You're going to lose a lot of money quickly. So we got to stand firm. When you decide to take a line, you can't just do it for a couple of weeks and be like, oh, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be this bad. You have to anticipate how the reality is going to play out. And I hope, well, and maybe not I hope, but I assume that Reddick and his agent expected or at least anticipated that this might be one scenario.
They thought that they had the Jets. They thought that they had them cornered. They really thought that. Because think about, it's not just that the Jets allowed one of their own players to walk to the team that Hassan Reddick used to play for. So literally the Jets are down a player, and the player that they brought in does exactly what Bryce Huff does and does it a little bit better. So that's the obvious stuff. I also think that their miscalculation came with this. When they looked at the Jets organization, I'm talking from an agent perspective to Reddick as they plotted this thing out, he's probably sitting there saying, dude, the head coach is hanging by a string. The GM's hanging by a string. If they don't win, they're both getting whacked. So we're going to get whatever we want. They're going to have to acquiesce because they're desperate. And guess what? They ain't acquiescing.
Yeah.
So that's where the miscalculation came in my opinion.
Right, but then once the season starts, that's where it's going to start to hurt the Jets. And that's where they're going to start to get antsy and say, hey, we need a pass rusher. So I'm assuming Reddick and his agent are playing the long game here, and that can hurt the Jets. BT and Sal on the fan. Ike is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Ike?
How you doing, boys?
What's up, Ike?
Hey.
BT. Yo. Where do you get the ego to say the Jets are better than the Bills? I mean, are you kidding me? And I'm not a Bills fan.
Okay.
I'm a Miami Dolphins fan.
Gotcha.
Okay. And what I saw last year.
Yep.
Now, listen, the Jet defense, for some reason, does match up well with the Bill offense.
Okay.
That's why you've been able to beat them once the last couple of years. Okay. What I did see last year was Miami waxed the Jet defense with a beat-up offense.
Hold on a second. I'm not talking about Miami. You brought up the Bills, so stick to them. Don't just jump around like that.
Yeah, I mean, Bills have won the division 5 years in a row. Okay? Bills have won the division 5 years in a row.
I understand that, Ike. No, and Ike, by the way, I've got profound respect for the Bills organization. I really do. It's not just like a flippant comment. I do. It's not just some flippant comment where I'm just saying, the Bills stink, whatever. No, the Bills have been a borderline model franchise for a while, but specific to the Jets-Bills thing, number one, the Jets beat them last year once. They only played twice. The year before that, remember when Zach Wilson had that big third down conversion? They beat them 2 years ago. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they almost swept them 2 years ago. Remember when C.J. Mosley jumped off sides right before the half in a 0-0 game that enabled the Bills to kick a field goal in the pouring rain right before the half, and they were up three? The Jets might have won that game, too. So, number one, the Jets match up well against the Bills, and I just proved it because they've won two of the last four times they play. And I believe, and maybe I'll be wrong, but I believe that the Jets roster is not only better than the Bills roster, it's absolutely better than the Bills roster.
Well, and for the sake of that conversation, and thank you for the call,
thanks.
I was talking about specifically the offense. And until proven further, or until proven otherwise, you have to side with the Bills. They're the ones who have proven. You even said that you'd give Josh Allen the edge.
I do, but Stephon Diggs is not playing for the Bills this year.
Okay, but we haven't seen it play out. I mean, we've seen what the Jets have been. The Bills at least earn the respect of saying, you have to put them on that level. They get the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Okay, and again, I love Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish he was my quarterback. Right. I love him.
And I love Rodgers, but he's not.
No, me too.
He's not Josh Allen
No,
now.
Yeah, Josh is young and tough and fearless and fast and has a rocket. Josh Allen's the man. I love Josh Allen. But two quick questions for you. Number one, do you think the Jets offense will be better with Rodgers compared to Zach?
Yes,
or no?
Okay. Yeah.
Number two, do you think the Bills' offense will be weakened without Stephon Diggs? Yes or no?
No, because
I do.
I don't believe.
He's one of the best receivers in football.
Understood, but I believe they can make somebody else.
I don't.
I believe a good quarterback will make a receiver better. I don't think you need Stephon
Diggs. But I don't think
Diggs.
Josh Allen's that kind of. Like, to me, Peyton Manning can make. Josh, to me, is off script, and off script quarterbacks generally don't make receivers better. It's broken play. No, I think that certain quarterbacks can definitely make receivers better. I don't think Josh Allen's one of those guys. Stephon Diggs walked in as a stud.
Yeah.
And he left a stud.
Right, but the Bills
Josh
offense
didn't make him.
The Bills offense was good before Stephon Diggs got
wasn't,
there.
It wasn't like that.
You know, well, you know what? The Bills haven't had the ultimate success either, so maybe getting away from just throwing the football down the field, maybe they could run a little bit more and have a different offense.
I mean, maybe. I'm not saying that they're going to go 5-12.
I just don't think that the receivers are as impactful as everybody makes it out to be. Like, I don't think just because the Giants have Malik Nabers now that they're going to be a top offense. I mean, you can't have a quarterback. So I'd rather have Allen there without Diggs than have Diggs without Allen. I still think the Bills offense should be a top offense even without Stephon Diggs. Pat is in North Caldwell. What's up, Pat?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, listen, so real quick, the Bills, yeah, I agree with BT. Like, the Jets loss is definitely better than the Bills loss. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but they were already declining last year with Stephon Diggs. They have nobody ever seen. Those guys are maybe Keon Coleman, but he's a rookie. You can't really worry about that. But if you lined them up, I would say the Dolphins have the best shot at anybody because that offense is very, you know, very electric. The defense is a little suspect, but bottom line is this, guys. Fact of fact, if the Jets are healthy this year, there's no reason they should not win 11. It's just a that's just bottom line. Everywhere you look, Michael Clay
right, but
here,
Pat, but Pat,
one.
The point of the conversation, and thank you for the call. I'm going to let you go,
Pat,
because we could barely hear you there for some reason.
A little fuzzy.
The point of the conversation is not to say that the Jets can't be better than the Dolphins or the Bills or anybody else. My point is that to be better than those teams, it's going to be because of the defense, not the offense. Obviously, the offense has to be competent, mm-hmm. which it hasn't been, and yes. I think it will be with Rodgers, but it's going to be the defense that separates them from the pack because their defense has the potential to be the best defense, where their offense has the potential to be a good offense.
You know, I said before, and again, I'm not saying there's no teams, but I don't think that there's abundance of teams that are both top 10, or at least last year, and projected this year, top 10 in both offense and defense. Because usually the offensive teams, you know, hang their hat on the offense and try to blow teams out, and, you know, the defensive teams like the Jets and some other teams that couldn't score are, you know, had their limitations offensively. Of course, Rodgers was the big issue last year, so I think the Jets will be very good on offense this year. But I'm going to incorporate this as well. Special teams. Now, I know, special, whatever, punting. Morstad and their kicking game, I think that I'm going to further this and say, I don't know if there's another team that's going to be ranked inside the top 10 in offense, defense, and special teams. I'm prepared to make that statement.
Yo,
I'm feeling myself today, Sal.
good luck
I'm getting giddy.
Yeah,
I'm at Fanatics Fan Fest. Yeah. I'm seeing Jet jerseys. Yeah. I'm booking 15 wins. Now, I think the Jets probably go 12-5. You know, I'm somewhat measured here.
That's fine. The facts are right now, the big piece defensively that they traded for this offseason is not there. He's not participating. And I think that's going to hurt the Jets in the long run, assuming he does not suit up and get on the football field once the games do start. BT and Sal on the Fan. The number to call, we'll continue with the calls, 888-808-1019, live from the Javits Center here at Fanatics Fest.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's BT and Sal on the Fan.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. As we're having some fun here live at the Javits Center, Fanatics Fest, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. And BT, so popular, he's still talking with some fans.
I mean, listen, I have fans, and you know, I got to talk to them.
Right. Yeah. Watch this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on CBS television. The Big Three Championship Weekend tips off from Boston's TD Garden. Watch Gary Payton's Bivouac and Michael Cooper's Three's Company battle it out for the Dr. J Championship Trophy. That's this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on CBS television. Ice Cube's Big Three Basketball Championship game from Boston's TD Garden. Watch all the action live this Sunday, 3 p.m. on CBS television and on X around the world. Big Three Basketball, a sports extravaganza like no other. Man, this has been fun. It's been a whirlwind, like nonstop since we've gotten here, checking the place out, and me getting dressed in this silly outfit here where I'm telling you, it's not It's not comfy.
You look like a kicker. You look like Matt Barr. That's who you look like.
When
the
Tiki
old, the old
comes,
Matt Barr.
Because I told you, these are Tiki like.
Because you got thick legs. You got thick thighs. You look like a kicker.
I want to
know. Not a punter, a kicker.
These are Tiki like game issue or game worn pants that I bought a year ago.
How much?
Probably a couple $100.
Really?
Yeah. I want to know how the hell he fit into these. Because his legs are certainly thicker than mine.
Yes.
He's a physical specimen.
Sure.
But, dude, I cannot zip or button this thing at all. Like, not even close.
Well, he doesn't have love handles. That's,
yeah, but it's not the love handles.
What is it?
Is it the package?
It's not
that either. Trust me, it's not that. No,
I'm going to say Advantage Tiki on that one.
Yeah, as I'm saying. I don't know how the hell he fit into these things. All right,
man.
Anyway, where's Ruben? Get him over
here. Yeah, get him over here. Where's Ruben?
I better be running routes with Tom Brady if I got to sit here in this Vic stuff. Plus, we're taking pictures with people.
That's great.
And I'm standing in a Michael Vick jersey. Like, even I don't want that. I want to be wearing
every picture that you're in, you're in a Vick jersey.
It's
going to
be the lasting memory. All right, we're talking Mets. We're talking Jets. I want to get into the baseball stuff a little bit later on, BT, about the new rule potentially that baseball has been considering. So we'll do that coming up later on. Let's get back to the calls here. Charlie is in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, BT, Sal. How you doing, guys?
We are good. How you doing, Charlie?
Good. Thank God it's Friday. Yesterday was very upsetting, and I'm ready to go from my Mets to my Jets right now. I love listening to baseball when I'm at work, you know, got the game on. But Mendoza, good move. Put Pientos, pays off right away. Put him in the number two spot. Looks great. But I never felt comfortable with a 5-0 lead yesterday because Quintana couldn't throw a strike. He looked like a little league baseball player out there. Struggled every inning. I just don't understand. Now, Mendoza's been a shining part of my season. I've been enjoying every move he makes. I just didn't understand how much longer he was letting him get in trouble. Every inning, the bases were loaded.
And Charlie, what did you think about pinch hitting for McNeil with Alvarez?
You know what? I didn't like it because Alvarez hasn't done anything. And I'll tell you right now, we spoke about 5 weeks ago, and I was telling you Alvarez was the captain of the team.
Yes.
And when he came off that disabled list, he hasn't gotten a hit since I said that.
No, that's not true. He had a big hit in Colorado, the triple that got there. I mean, he's had some hits. He has not. Thanks for the call, Charlie. He hasn't been what we thought he was, and he might be that next year. We both think Alvarez is going to be really, really good. And listen, this is not, you know, Mike and the Dog back in 1992 breaking down bullpen moves, but I mean, it's a different presentation. Right. It's different content. Radio's modernized. It's different. But I got to tell you, I did not like that. In real time, I'm like, so let me get this straight. I know the splits favored the decision. I understand that. But when they pinch hit Alvarez for McNeil, who's been red hot, I didn't like the move. Did you? I know you don't love McNeil, so maybe you're okay with it.
Yeah, I didn't care.
I didn't love it.
In that spot, I'm not going to criticize him because my initial reaction was, I hope Alvarez can hit one out right here.
Yeah.
So I know McNeil's has been the better hitter. Alvarez has been struggling. I wanted power there. And Mendoza went with the gut feel. I can't criticize it. It's also not the reason why they lost the game.
Well, it wasn't a gut feel. I think it was more statistically driven. I mean, the numbers were favorable to Alvarez.
Right,
it didn't work out.
He didn't want the lefty-lefty in that spot is the way he explained, I think, after the game. Now, you mentioned Mike and Chris.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Check your phone real quick.
Oh, did somebody get back to us?
I want you to see your phone and explain to me what's going on because maybe I missed something.
Okay. Yeah, I texted you guys earlier.
You texted Mike and me?
Yeah.
Mike F. and me?
Yeah, you and Francesa.
Well, I didn't get that text, and I just see a response now from Mike.
Oh, let me put my glasses on. Maybe I texted the wrong person. Maybe I texted Francesca's Pizzeria by accident. Hold on.
What
the hell's going on?
I just got a text in a group chat with BT and Mike F.
Yeah, Francesa. So it's the right Mike Francesa. You know,
right.
Yeah.
What did you send? Because I don't see that. I'm only seeing Mike's response.
What?
What did you send?
I sent a picture of Mickey Mantle.
Right.
A painting of Mickey Mantle. I'll show you.
I deleted that already. I'm a deleter. What? So like,
but do you delete it before you read it?
No, I did. You sent me pictures of the. What do I care about pictures?
Because it was on a text message, and it tied into what we said yesterday.
And
then I sent the picture of Aaron Judge.
So you sent him the Judge thing and the Mantle thing, and then Mike responds.
He wrote back, Aaron Judge.
So what does that mean? Now I'm confused.
It means that he thinks Aaron Judge is better than Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, yesterday I asked him flat out, Judge or Mantle.
He changed his mind.
I said, is Judge better than Mantle? He said no.
He changed his mind. I weighed in. He changed his mind.
I'm confused by that.
You are. It was, listen, it's not that confusing.
Yeah.
Somebody sends you a text, you read it, you react to it, and then you
delete
it.
So when I read your text initially, I was like, I didn't even know that you sent it to Mike. I just assumed it was me
and
Hoff.
Yeah, I sent it to Francesa, too.
It was either me and Hoff or me and Hurley.
Yeah. Yeah, I sent it to you and Mike and Nate.
No, I told you got back, Aaron.
Now we got a little group chat. So now we'll badger Francesa every day.
No.
You are terrified of Francesa.
I'm not terrified. I'm respectful.
So am I, dude.
It's a difference between terrified and respectful.
Hey, shout out to Francesa, right? A little shout out to the legend. Shout out to the fan legend. There you go.
I think his sons are here today.
Oh, nice. Was that Harrison?
Stop by and say hello. Harrison and Jack.
Walking around with crazy Frank.
Jack, a big Falcons fan.
So which one of them played college football?
Jack, I believe.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good.
I don't know if Harrison's on his way to play college football or doesn't want to play football. I don't really know. I definitely know Jack is a tight end.
I think he played it. Or Hamilton, I think that's his school.
Oh, yeah, good anyway. For him. Yeah, shout out to Mike. So that caught me off. See, that's why maybe I shouldn't delete text.
Well, yeah, obviously. You usually read them first and then delete them.
Well, I did read it.
They didn't.
You sent two. You sent two pictures. You sent a picture of a picture. A picture of a picture of Judge and a picture of a picture of Mantle.
Correct.
And I saw it and I was like, okay.
Okay, now let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Without belaboring this, did you see that the text included Francesa?
I did not.
Oh, well, then it's understandable.
Right.
If you would have seen that it was Mike Francesa,
I would have left it open.
You would have said, oh, wow, we talked about this yesterday. Now I can see why.
I got it as I was running around trying to get in here.
I assumed
it was Hoff or Hurley because we're on a text with them.
Now I got it.
That was the mistake that I made. All right, let's get back to the phones here. Sorry.
Never get those 5 minutes back.
But thanks for responding, Mike. Nick is calling from Woodbridge, New Jersey. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Nick.
Thanks, guys, for taking the call. Big fans of the show.
I have an Alonzo point.
I have something on the Jets that I want to talk about as well. Now, BT, like you, I'm a Jets and I'm a Yankee fan, but the whole thing with Alonzo, I think Mets fans are trying to outsmart themselves here. All Alonzo has been since he came into the league, he leads Major League in home runs. He plays every day. Mm-hmm. He's got the richest owner in sports history. You don't want to give him a 6-year deal? You gave Nimmo 8 years, and he has, I know he's been healthy the last couple of years, but he had legit injury concerns before he signed.
They offered Alonzo a deal. So, they already offered him a long-term deal.
Yep.
Last year.
He
turned it down. No, I think it was six.
It was six, five or six.
Yeah, he turned it down.
Yep.
I think it was six for 158, but he's had a down year this year, and he's still six in home runs. I just don't know what the plan would be for losing a guy.
But Nick, I'm lost on your premise because you said why wouldn't Cohen and the Mets offer him a long-term deal? They did. He turned it down. That was last year. Now he's having an awful year. So why? What, should the Mets just up their offer, give him 8 years? Like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
No, I think he probably wants to hit free agency. He probably wanted more money. It might backfire on him like it backfired on Boris.
Well, it did. It did because now there's no way he's getting that offer. There's no way he's getting that offer at this point.
But I just don't think the Mets are a better team without Alonzo than
with. Well, we don't know that, Nick. Did you hang up on him?
No.
Nick, let me ask you. So basic yes or no. Is Pete Alonzo a top five player in baseball? Yes or no? Let's do it quick. Forget it. Get rid of him. I can't play this game. Goodbye, Nick. Sorry, I love you, Nick. I can't. He can't answer a simple question. I can't play the game.
Top five.
I figured that was the easy one.
Yeah,
I was good. And my point was
to progress up to,
is he even a top 20 player?
Right.
And I think based on, and I don't think that he is, for the record, when you combine skill in terms of, you know, dynamic athletic qualities, high average, guys who could play premium defensive positions, who can run, he's not. So I was going to ask him, Nick, is he a top 5? No. Is he a top 10? No. Is he top 15? No. Is he top 20? No. You want to tell him he's top 30? Maybe we can. So for me, we can start having the conversation. And when you get to that point, to me, it would have proved my point. Like, you can't tell me that somebody who is indisputably not among the top 20 or 25 players in the game, that we can't at least have a conversation of a brighter future without him. That is not irresponsible. So I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, and it's not like the Mets didn't want him. They offered him a contract, a more than fair contract, last year. He turned it down, thinking that he wanted more. I mean, there were thoughts that Pete wanted Judge money. Forget about $200 million, more than that. And he turned down the 160, which was comparable to Matt Olson and the other first baseman, top for Freddie Freeman.
Uh-huh.
Turned that down. And the Mets said, okay, fine. Cohen himself said, I hope he goes out there and makes this impossible on me. Go hit 50 home runs. Make this as difficult as possible. That would mean we'd have a great season.
I remember when he said it.
And Pete had the opportunity to do that. If Pete Alonso had the year that Juan Soto is having in his walk year, the talk around here would be like, you know what? They've got to keep him. They've got to give him $200 million. They've got to give him $220, $250, whatever it is. They can't let this guy go. He's a face of their franchise, power hitter. They need Pete Alonso. He's having the exact opposite of Juan Soto. He's having a down year. Even if he were having a good year, it'd be like, all right, we'll still need to bring him. Now he's making it almost easy on them to say, well, there's no way you're getting a 5 or 6 year deal from us. We'll let the market dictate what you're worth, and if we want to bring you back on a year or two, we'll do so.
And I think what complicates that even more is that it's coming off a down season before that. You know, it's not like Pete Alonso hit 279 last year. He hit 217, man.
Right.
And I remember talking about this with you during the winter. Like, he needs to dispel in terms of, like, right, a career trajectory, like this arc of, all right, who's Pete going to be? Now, I'm sorry, but when it's, you know, almost two full years of evidence, I now look at Pete Alonso as a low average hitter.
Right.
Now he's got power, we know that, even though the power's down. But in terms of being efficient and maximizing his time in the batter's box with quality at bats, he's morphing into a player that you don't want on your team.
Right. The appeal of Pete was that he could hit 250 or 260 and
yes,
hit 40 home runs,
yes,
and drive,
yes,
at 100.
Which is better than the league average.
Correct.
I think the league average is about 238, 240 right now.
Right.
So he was 260 a couple of years, 255.
Then last year he hit, what, 213 or whatever
it was? I think it was 217.
Okay, whatever.
It was even lower than that.
Well, whatever. It was low last year.
Yeah, it was below 220 for sure.
And then this year the average, all right, it's up, but the power is down.
Correct.
So now
and
you're
it's
going.
Not, and it's not up enough.
Right.
To justify saying,
correct,
last year was an outlier.
And by the way, even if he was on pace for 45 home runs and hitting 220, that to me would still not be great. Now, it'd be better because he'd be hitting with power and driving the runs, but ideally what made him valuable was that he could be a good hitter, 250, 260, and hit with power. And it's now two consecutive years,
yep,
that he has not done that. BT and Sal on the Fan live at the Javits Center, Fanatics Fest, NYC, 888-808-1019 is the number to call.
All right, Sal. Hey, New York City savings has always been hard, but with unlimited welcome from Verizon, saving on your phone bills never been easier, even if you're on a single line for a limited time. Single lines begin at just $50 a month when you bring your own phone with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. That's a savings of $15 a month. And when you switch up, now you can save on all the things that you love, like Netflix and Max, all on the most awarded 5G network. Big savings in the Big Apple. Never been a better time to switch to the network that America relies on, but this offer will not last forever. So make sure you visit your local Verizon store, switch up, and save big today. $180 BYOD promo credit and $360 local promo credit applied over 36 months for new customers with one new line with your own 4G, 5G phone on a limited welcome plan required. Additional terms do apply. Auto pay and paper-free billing required in times of congestion on limited 5G and 4G. LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds, $10 a month for each My Plan perk. Additional terms and conditions apply per perk.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call as we try to catch our bearings here at 11:46 in the morning, live from the Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. It is pretty wild here, BT. Crowd here for us, of course, which is nice, and you just look around at all the different things that you could do, and people taking pictures with Brady that I'm seeing. One of our sales guys had his daughter take a picture with Brady.
I tried to do something this morning, and I have to go back and do it. It worked for somebody else, I think. My height, I was out of the range, and it's like I'm 7 feet, and I'm not that tall. But they had to, like, recalibrate things, and I had to come and do the show. Over in one of the baseball sections, they've got, you know, when you play a video game, they put those little sensors on.
Yeah, okay. I saw that. And the hockey one I saw.
Everything. They recreate the movement, right? So I was taking dry baseball swings with a bat, and what it does is it takes my swing, and then they match it. I don't know how they do this with this technology. Like, instantaneously, they match it with somebody else's swing that is most closely, like,
to yours,
to mine. It didn't work, though. It worked for a few other people. Somebody got Bregman. Somebody got Ohtani. I got to go back.
Who do you think you would get?
I mean,
Jeff McNeil?
who do I think? You know,
what? A little lefty? Come on.
Oh, come on, dude.
What? You got a better swing than McNeil?
No. I would say, who would I want it to look like? I don't know. Yeah. I'd want it to look like Mattingly. Yeah. Probably more O'Neal, because I stand more upright,
okay,
like Paul did. I didn't have a lot of crouch. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm done. I've been done playing for 25 years. But it is really cool. One of the main I think attractions from a baseball perspective. It's just a great exhibit.
You know, there was a lot of stuff that we promoted over the last couple of weeks, but there's a lot of stuff that we didn't because you can't promote everything. You just don't have enough time. But that's some of the cool stuff, too. And I know some of the lines, you know, like for the WWE entrance thing, it's going to be massive, as you would expect. But all the other little things, like you said, that swing simulator, the hockey stuff, you can get in there and play goal with those things on you.
Yep, the Nets have something. The Knicks have something. There's golf.
When we had Ruben on last week, or was it this week?
Yeah, it was this week.
When we had him on, I was saying, like, the 15-year-old me, which, by the way, was, I think it was 17 or whatever, when they had the All-Star game at the Garden, and they had the basketball set up and all that stuff here.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is, you live for this stuff.
This is incredible.
Like, this is, for a sports fan,
yep,
this is as good as it gets. And this is not me just promoting it just because.
No,
I'm telling you the truth.
No, you and I don't get a penny for doing this.
Yeah, as a sports fan. Like, I know we promoted it for the station, of course. That's different. But
well, stations get my money.
Yeah, right.
I'm saying us.
No, but just telling you as a sports fan, this is, I tried to get my sister to come and take Joey, and even my niece Riley. I guess they were busy, couldn't come, but it bothered me. Like, that's how cool I think that this is. They should come out and experience this.
And you're back tomorrow, right? You're doing a show with Beningo?
With Joe B.
Don't be cheating on your partner too much.
Don't be
flirting too much with Joe.
You know what's weird? I didn't think about that until I actually saw the sign when we came in today. There's like a sign promoting fan shows. We'll have Evan and Tiki coming up later and then tomorrow morning. Until I saw that, I was like, oh, that could be odd. Like, initially, I'm just thinking, all right, yeah, they'll do a show or whatever, but it is weird.
You better watch it. I'll start going back with Tiki on you.
Man, I do want to get Tiki on and ask him how the hell he fit into these pants. Anyway, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll reset in a little bit. For now, we'll get back to the calls, 888-808-1019. And I do want to get to that six-inning thing in baseball, which I think could be – I mean, it's just a fascinating discussion. It may not be happening anytime soon. It may not ever happen.
And I don't think a lot of people really know about it. So I do think we need to present it in a way that's informative because it's – now – whether or not it happens is a different discussion. I know we'll get to it later. It's one of the more interesting, crazy things I've ever heard pertaining to Major League Baseball.
Kingston is in Manhattan. What's up, Kingston?
Hey, bud.
Oh, Kingston. I'm here.
Yeah, what's up, Kingston? You're on the air.
Oh, well, we got a little guy.
I cut him off.
Uncle Sal, once again, having no fun with the little kids.
It's not that. It's
Uncle
that,
BT is there was a delay. A little better with that.
You heard the significant delay. We went to Kingston. He said, oh, it's Kingston. And then there was a pause. He wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, he's got no time for the kids.
I didn't mean
that. The cranky uncle.
No, we got to keep it moving here. Anthony's calling from Long Island. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I feel bad now.
I think that even though the Mets' playoffs hopes are probably dim, I don't know what they got to do, but they got to keep Vientos in the 2 spot or the 3 spot. It is, I don't know how much more we need to see. The dude's a stud. Flat out.
Yeah, Vientos has to be in the 2-hole, no question about it.
Matthew Stafford showed up on the scene here with his Oakley visor and all uniform down.
I do think that that Vientos needs to be the two-hitter moving forward. Like, I wouldn't mess with that.
Does he run well enough?
No, I don't care about that.
I'm just saying, like, long term.
No, he hits. I'm not saying the lineup right now, and I would even move Nimmo down until he starts getting going. And if Nimmo does get going, then you move him back up to the 3 spot. But right now, the Mets' 2 best hitters clearly are Lindor and Vientos. Those are the guys you want up the most. Those are the guys you trust. And those two guys, back-to-back, Lindor, let's say, starts the game with a double or a single, and Vientos could drive him in. That's how you want to get started in the game. Nimmo right now is an automatic out, so you can't even have him in the top three as far as I'm concerned. I would move him to like 5 or 6 and get him going. Ideally, long-term, how does it project? Lindor, Nimmo, Vientos, maybe like next year, sure, or you have, you know, Soto in there, somebody.
Alvarez.
Whatever, Alvarez ideally. But for now, it's got to be Lindor 1-2 and then figure it out because everybody else behind him has not been very good. Oh, Kingston called back, BT.
Nice.
So a second chance. Kingston?
Hi, Kingston.
Hi, Kingston.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good. I'm Kingston the Kickcaster. I want to be on the podcast on Monday.
He wants to be what now? What do you want to do on Monday?
I'm going to be the Kickcaster on Monday.
You want to be the kid?
No, he's going to.
Wait a second. Is this the young man who was on SNY the other night?
Yes.
Yes. Look, Kingston, let me tell you something, young man. You are, how old are you, sir?
9.
Okay, so first of all, I want to give you mom and dad, it sounds like your dad's there, a world of credit, because I was watching this on SNY Live, and when they found, Gelbs came over to tell you that you are the SNY Kidcaster, and I've got a 9-year-old son, my beautiful daughter's 8, so it's the same exact age, and I watched your response, and I watched how happy you were, and I saw how respectful you were, and I actually tweeted about you, Kingston. I think, quite honestly, I think you're already a better broadcaster than Sal, but that, but that's just my opinion.
Thank you. My dad showed me what you
What I wrote on, what I tweeted. Yep, what he showed it to you. Well,
yeah,
now,
thank you.
You are welcome, young man. And the game is Monday. Do you know what I'm even talking about? You were at SNY when it went down.
I didn't see it. No.
Okay. Well, you know how Gary,
Keith, they
do the kid cast.
Yes, that I'm aware of.
They surprised Kingston and his dad just sitting there watching the game.
Right.
And Gelbs went up to him during an inning, and they had the camera on him. And they said, "Hey, Kingston, we know that you submitted this for the SNY KidCaster," and they told him on the spot that he was the winner. And then Gary said that his demo was awesome, and whether or not he's going to be a broadcaster or he wants to even be, he was so respectful and such a genuinely good young boy. It warmed my heart. It makes me feel good, and I know I've got two of them under my roof, but it makes me feel good to know that there's still kids like that.
Right.
Your parents are doing a great job, Kingston.
And that's awesome, a great opportunity. I wish they had those opportunities when I was a kid.
Yes. Can you imagine?
I mean, I had to start as an intern, work my way up for 20-plus years.
Yeah.
Lucky to get my crack.
Coffee and be broke. I know.
And
it's true, me too.
Sends in a demo tape. He's getting to do a game, game.
He's on his way at 9 years old.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my, that is true. When you look at it that way, I'm going to start to change my tune on Kingston.
Congrats, Kingston.
Get a little jealous.
Good luck with the call.
That's great.
Coming up on Monday night. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Reset, come back here with the crown topic of the day when we come back. Some icons, they happen over time or by chance, but a Cadillac, their vehicles are made to be iconic with intent. I'm telling you, I'm driving around in the Lyric this week. I've been taking it to work. I love it. It is, you know what it's got? It's got quiet power. I like, for a car that's all electric, the all-electric Lyric, it has got that quiet power that you like. It's an invigorating ride, charged into a new era with Lyric's GM estimated 350 horsepower, and with a near 50-50 weight distribution, Lyric offers thrilling performance. I'm telling you, it feels like you're floating in the car. It has been nice. I've never driven an electrical car before, and I was worried about, electrical car, is going to have the power? Well, this one has it. Lyric has it, while drawing attention at every single turn. It looks great, too. Because icons aren't just born. They're made. Visit your Tri-State Cadillac dealer and check out the new all-electric Lyric.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. As we try to catch our bearings here at 11:46 in the morning, live from the Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. It is pretty wild here, BT. Crowd here for us, of course, which is nice. And you just look around at all the different things that you could do. And people taking pictures with Brady that I'm seeing. One of our sales guys had his daughter take a picture with Brady.
I tried to do something this morning, and I have to go back and do it. It worked for somebody else, I think. My height, I was out of the range, and it's like I'm 7 feet, and I'm not that tall. But they had to, like, recalibrate things, and I had to come and do the show. Over in one of the baseball sections, they've got, you know, when you play a video game, they put those little sensors on.
I saw that. And the hockey one I saw.
Everything. They recreate the movement, right? So I was taking dry baseball swings with a bat, and what it does is it takes my swing, and then they match it. I don't know how they do this with this technology. Like, instantaneously, they match it with somebody else's swing that is most closely, like,
to yours,
to mine. It didn't work, though. It worked for a few other people. Somebody got Bregman. Somebody got Ohtani. I got to go back.
Who do you think you would get?
I mean,
Jeff McNeil?
who do I think? You know,
what? A little lefty? Come on.
Oh, come on, dude.
What? You got a better swing than McNeil?
No. I would say, who would I want it to look like? I don't know. I'd want it to look like Mattingly. Yeah. Probably more O'Neill, because I stand more upright like Paul did. I didn't have a lot of crouch. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, I'm done. I've been done playing for 25 years. But it is really cool. One of the main I think attractions from a baseball perspective. It's just a great exhibit.
You know, there was a lot of stuff that we promoted over the last couple of weeks, but there's a lot of stuff that we didn't because you can't promote everything. You just don't have enough time. But that's some of the cool stuff, too. And I know some of the lines, you know, like for the WWE entrance thing, it's going to be massive, as you would expect. But all the other little things, like you said, that swing simulator, the hockey stuff, you can get in there and play goal with those things on you.
So the Nets have something. The Knicks have something. There's golf.
When we had Ruben on last week, or was it this week?
Yeah, it was this week.
When we had him on, I was saying, like, the 15-year-old me, which, by the way, was, I think it was 17 or whatever, when they had the All-Star game at the Garden, and they had the basketball set up and all that stuff here.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is, you live for this stuff.
Is incredible.
Like, this is, for a sports fan,
yep.
This is as good as it gets. And this is not me just promoting it just because.
No,
I'm telling you the truth.
No, you and I don't get a penny for doing this.
Yeah, as a sports fan, like, I know we promoted it for the station, of course. That's different. But
well, stations get my money. Yeah,
right.
I'm saying us.
No, but just telling you as a sports fan, this is, I tried to get my sister to come and take Joey, and even my niece Riley. I guess they were busy, couldn't come, but it bothered me. Like, that's how cool I think that this is. They should come out and experience this.
And you're back tomorrow, right? You're doing a show with Beningo?
With Joe B.
Don't be cheating on your partner too much.
Don't be
flirting too much with Joe.
You know what's weird?
Now.
I didn't think about that until I actually saw the sign where we came in today. There's like a sign promoting fan shows. We'll have Evan and Tiki coming up later and then tomorrow morning. Until I saw that, I was like, oh, that could be odd. Like, initially, I'm just thinking, all right, yeah, they'll do a show or whatever, but it is weird.
You better watch it. I'll start going back with Tiki on you.
Man, I do want to get Tiki on and ask him how the hell he's fit into these pants. Anyway, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll reset in a little bit. For now, we'll get back to the calls, 888-808-1019. And I do want to get to that six-inning thing in baseball, which I think could be – I mean, it's just a fascinating discussion. It may not be happening anytime soon. It may not ever happen.
And I don't think a lot of people really know about it. So
okay.
I do think we need to present it in a way that's informative because it's – now, whether or not it happens is a different discussion. I know we'll get to it later. It's one of the more interesting, crazy things I've ever heard pertaining to Major League Baseball.
Kingston is in Manhattan. What's up, Kingston?
Hey, bud.
Oh, Kingston. I'm here.
Yeah, what's up, Kingston? You're on the air.
Hi, Sal.
Oh, well, we got a little guy.
I cut him off.
Uncle Sal, once again, having no fun with the little kids.
It's not that. It's
Uncle
that,
BT is there
was a delay.
A little better with that.
You heard the significant delay. We went to Kingston. He said, oh, it's Kingston. And then there was a pause. He wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, he's got no time for the kids.
I didn't mean
this
that.
Is the cranky uncle.
No, we got to keep it moving here. Anthony's calling from Long Island. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I feel bad now.
I just wanted to say,
yeah.
I think that even though the Mets playoffs hopes are probably dim, I don't know what they got to do, but they got to keep Vientos in the 2 spot or the 3 spot. It is, I don't know how much more we need to see. The dude's a stud. Flat out.
Yeah, Vientos has to be in the 2 hole, no question about it.
Matthew Stafford showed up on the scene here with his Oakley visor and all uniformed out.
I do think that that Vientos needs to be the 2 hitter moving forward. Like, I wouldn't mess with that.
Does he run well enough?
No, I don't care about that.
I'm just saying, like, long term.
No, he hits. I'm not saying the lineup right now. And I would even move Nimmo down until he starts getting going. And if Nimmo does get going, then you move him back up to the 3 spot. But right now, the Mets' 2 best hitters clearly are Lindor and Vientos. Those are the guys you want up the most. Those are the guys you trust. And those two guys, back-to-back, Lindor, let's say, starts the game with a double or a single, and Vientos could drive him in. That's how you want to get started in the game. Nimmo right now is an automatic out, so you can't even have him in the top 3 as far as I'm concerned. I would move him to like 5 or 6 and get him going. Ideally, long-term, how does it project? Lindor, Nimmo, Vientos, maybe like next year, sure, or you have, you know, Soto with somebody.
Alvarez.
Whatever, Alvarez ideally. But for now, it's got to be Lindor 1-2 and then figure it out because everybody else behind him has not been very good. Oh, Kingston called back, BT.
Nice.
So a second chance. Kingston?
Hi, Kingston.
Hi, Kingston.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good. I can't get a kickcaster. I want to be on the podcast on Monday.
He wants to be what now? What do you want to do on Monday?
I'm going to be the kickcaster on Monday.
You want to be the kid?
No, he's going to.
Wait a second. Is it? Whoa. Is this the young man who was on SNY the other night?
Yes.
My dad. Yes. Kingston, let me tell you something, young man. You are, how old are you, sir?
9.
Okay. So, first of all, I want to give you mom and dad, it sounds like your dad's there, a world of credit because I was watching this on SNY Live. And when they found, Gelbs came over to tell you that you are the SNY KidCaster, and I've got a 9-year-old son, my beautiful daughter's 8, so it's the same exact age, and I watched your response, and I watched how happy you were, and I saw how respectful you were, and I actually tweeted about you, Kingston. I think, quite honestly, I think you're already a better broadcaster than Sal, but that, but that's just my opinion.
Thank you. My dad showed me what you
What I wrote on, what I tweeted. Yep, he showed it to you. Well,
yeah.
Now,
thank you.
You are welcome, young man. And the game is Monday. Do you know what I'm even talking about? You were at SNY when it went down.
I didn't see it. No.
Okay. Well, you know how Gary,
Keith,
the kid caster.
Yes, that I'm aware of.
They surprised Kingston and his dad just sitting there watching the game.
Right.
And Gelbs went up to him during an inning, and they had the camera on him, and they said, "Hey, Kingston, we know that you submitted this for the SNY Kidcaster," and they told him on the spot that he was the winner. And then Gary said that his demo was awesome. And whether or not he's going to be a broadcaster or he wants to even be, he was so respectful and such a genuinely good young boy. It warmed my heart. It makes me feel good. And I know I've got two of them under my roof, but it makes me feel good to know that there's still kids like that.
Right.
Your parents are doing a great job, Kingston.
And that's awesome, a great opportunity. I wish they had those opportunities when I was a kid.
Yes. Can you imagine?
I mean, I had to start as an intern, work my way up for 20-plus years.
Yeah.
Lucky to get
Mike
crack.
Coffee and be broke. Yeah, I know.
And
it's true, me too.
Sends in a demo tape. He's getting into a game, game.
He's on his way at 9 years old.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my, that is true. When you look at it that way, I'm going to start to change my tune on Kingston.
Congrats,
get
Kingston.
Get a little jealous.
Good luck with the call.
That's great.
Coming up on Monday night. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Reset, come back here with the crown topic of the day when we come back. Some icons, they happen over time or by chance, but a Cadillac, their vehicles are made to be iconic with intent. I'm telling you, I'm driving around in the Lyric this week. I've been taking it to work. I love it. It is, you know what it's got? It's got quiet power. I like, for a car that's all electric, the all-electric Lyric, it has got that quiet power that you like. It's an invigorating ride, charged into a new era with Lyric's GM estimated 350 horsepower, and with a near 50-50 weight distribution, Lyric offers thrilling performance. I'm telling you, it feels like you're floating in the car. It has been nice. I've never driven an electrical car before, and I was worried about, electrical car is going to have the power. Well, this one has it. Lyric has it, while drawing attention at every single turn. It looks great, too, because icons aren't just born. They're made. Visit your tri-state Cadillac dealer and check out the new all-electric Lyric.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.